I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
The following is a presentation of the Force Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed, which means I'm Ken Napsok.
And it means I'm Joseph Scrimshaw.
And it means I'm Jennifer Lando.
Hey, the gang is together. We have gone through a lot just in this last couple of days to get here today. We're all experiencing different things in life. We're recording from ice caves and bunkers. It's a fun time.
Yeah, try to guess which room we're in based on the quality of our voices. We're recording at a different time and are all scattered to different parts of the home.
That's great. And Jed, we'll just let's acknowledge the cough in the room. You're a little under the weather, so you might sound a little different. We don't want anyone to freak out. You're okay.
That's right. Sound better today than I did yesterday, but I'm going to lean into it. Sound yeah. Real grizzly.
Oh, yeah. You got a Saj Ventress vibe going on.
Oh, ah. Yeah.
Love that.
Short voiceover career for like a day while I'm sick, and then they'd be like, okay, you're fired.
Just come in once and go, Kenobi.
Kenobi.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Well, the gang is all here for some Star Wars news. Also, look at this week in Star Wars history. A lot of fun, a lot of things to get to. Even though there's only technically on our sheet two stories, there's a lot to discuss. So we're going to dive right in here. And we'll also remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/4center. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, we'll have our 4center recommends an audiobook, that we think you should try out on us. right. I just was doing the adding the commercials in some of the older episodes, and I stumbled onto the first time we ever offered Audible.
Really?
Yes. And we all were figuring out how to get that rhythm down.
Audibletrial.com.
It's good stuff. We're going to catch up as we normally do, life and Star Wars adventures, but we're also not going to make Jen talk a ton to strain what little vocal cords she has left. So, Jen, I will let you begin. How are you surviving, and is Star Wars getting you through?
Well, it would have. I went to Disneyland yesterday. I was so excited because my daughter, I had prepped her. I said, let's go on the Millennium Falcon ride. She says, yes, I'm all in. I don't know what happened, but somehow we didn't even get anywhere near Galaxy's Edge. I got a moment in the Tomorrowland gift shop. It was like not even, I barely looked at like one Grogu tie-dye shirt and then I was whisked away. And it just was very, I was like, I need a day by myself here so that I can. I mean, really, like my kids wanted to be at the pool or they were like, oh, we'll just go on like Small World. And I'm like, oh my gosh. This, you know, we have a 2-year-old too. So that's challenging. Sure. But I saw people walking around with their droids and their custom lightsabers. And it just was like, you know, I had this wistful look on my face. My husband was like, oh, look at that custom lightsaber. Oh, that looks nice. I'm like, would be nice.
I'm aware. Have you ever made a lightsaber, Jen?
I never have. I just am, at least not at this age, because everything gets destroyed. My daughter, my 6-year-old, was playing with our lightsaber. And it's one of those that like it retracts and then, you know, shoots out.
Yeah.
And she thank goodness she didn't point it at herself like Luke. She pointed it outwards, but my 2-year-old was right in front of her and it shot right below her eye.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. She got this huge bruise and I had to explain to her school. They're like, what happened? I'm like, well, she got shot in the face by a lightsaber. So I can't get a fancy one just yet.
Just yet.
We need some actual Star Wars storytelling where the younglings hurt one another and really get a good lecture from Yoda about lightsaber safety.
Oh my gosh, like there should be like a training video over kids. Oh, have you guys made custom lightsabers?
I did. Had a chance. Yeah, but Joseph did. Yeah.
It was one of the priorities, you know, in the lightsaber is cool. The lightsaber is great. I love it. But the experience is so good. And they let you bring in one other person with you. So, you know, Sarah took a bunch of like pictures and was like my emotional support.
Oh, that's great.
For how cool it was. Yeah. It's really worth the experience.
I love it. I will say that, you know, Galaxy's Edge is really far out there. And so that's part of the reason why we didn't go over there, because it was just such a trek. But Tomorrowland, I think it needs a little bit of help because people aren't really going into the launch bay, you know? Right. I don't even think it's open. And then we saw some characters doing some music at night, the up characters, the little boy and the dog.
And in Tomorrowland?
Yes, in Tomorrowland. It kind of has like a Toy Story Pixar thing. I don't know, but I'm like, somebody, please bring something Star Wars over here. It's Space Mountain, Star Tours. Come on.
Yeah. It did get a little dented there by Galaxy's Edge. Cause some of the early times I went to Disneyland, which was quite late in life, that Tomorrowland was Star Wars land, right?
Right. Wow. Yes. One last thing I'll say on the tram ride, bus ride back. We were talking with this family and they had said that they went on the Rise of the Resistance and they were not hardcore Star Wars fans by any means. They said it was the most incredible ride they've ever been on. They said it was I think she even said like life-changing. I was like, whoa. she said it was unlike anything she's ever experienced. She would not spoil it for me, she said. I have not really done much research on it, but she said, if you can ever go on it, don't miss it. So we're going back to the hotel. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah. Maybe next time.
When the kids graduate high school.
Oh gosh.
I concur.
Another priority.
Yeah, I concur with Stranger Lady. I concur. Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
I have not yet bet on it, so I'm with you, Jen. Ken and Stranger Lady have had their lives changed, and you and I remain the same for now.
Oh, man. Someday.
But I haven't had a chance to build a lightsaber, so, you know, it's all even around here. I haven't
balance
even walked
the
over
Disneyland.
There. Yeah, I didn't even pass that. I did walk into where you build the droids. And I was with my friend and his wife, and we walked in and Grace and I, and I remember, I don't know why, how we got, I just saw a lot of it, and I went like this. I went, and I turned around and walked out. I want to build a droid. Sorry, R2. I want to build a lightsaber.
It's not cheap. $100, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
right. Yeah. I'd rather get a turkey leg.
Exactly. I wanted to. Ronto wrap. That didn't happen either. Oh, well. Yeah. Sorry.
The tale of Jen's Disney disappointments.
I know. My husband's like, you're having a really hard day. I'm like, nothing accomplished.
At least it matches your voice. Like, nothing worked out for me at Disneyland.
Maybe that's the problem. Yes.
Well, Star Wars adventures, sort of, from Jen. Joseph, life at Star Wars, how's it going for you?
Good. I had some adventures that I thought were going to be Star Wars adjacent, and then they became direct Star Wars, which was weird and fun. So my wife and I are really making a point of trying to go to all of the museums that we keep saying that we're going to. We went to the Natural History Museum for the first time. We have been down there before to the Science Center to see this amazing King Tut exhibit several years ago. But there was a Jane Goodall exhibit at the Natural History Museum that my wife really wanted to catch. We watched both of the Disney Plus documentaries about Jane Goodall, which are both really great. Not surprising, a woman who studied and studies the way science and nature and interact. There's a lot of Star Wars themes going on. So the exhibit was great, but then halfway through our drive there, I was like, oh, wait, I'm going to get to see the outside of the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art under construction. Yeah. And it was really fun to see I know I've seen the drawings. We've all seen the drawings, but to see up close the giant, weird spaceship like shape that is like the outer structure, like it's still all covered and stuff, but it's there, you know? So it was exciting to see how close it was getting. And that whole area, it sounds like Jen, that you've been there.
Yes.
It is such a cool, just sort of campus of knowledge with all the different buildings, some that are like very old and some that are newer and other new ones under construction. And now the Lucas thing there and the Rose Gardens, so all great, all beautiful. And I thought, oh, that's kind of a Star Wars adventure. There's the one Jane Goodall quote about giving one of the things that she did different when she studied chimpanzees to begin with is gave them names instead of numbers. And I was like, there it is. Talking about clones from Clone Wars, the animated series. Same philosophy, but with chimpanzees. But then when I was leaving, there was some sort of party going on, and there were a bunch of different people cosplaying. There was a Jedi with Grogu, who was a Grogu doll, who was just standing like on the corner making Grogu wave at people. Like, okay. But then there was somebody from JPL who had a fully made, automatically piloted R2. So R2 just came rolling along and kept getting stopped for photos. Like there was a paparazzi, like R2 is famous. So while the guy piloting R2 was talking to kid, I zipped in and took a selfie with R2, which is the first celebrity selfie I have taken in Los Angeles after all these years of living here.
Wow. Was it a JPL event?
I don't know. There's so much going on there because there's also the Coliseum and a different music venue it looked like. It looked like there was like, like a nerd event, some sort of a goth event, some just are you young in Los Angeles event. I had no, there was a wedding in the Rose Garden. It was a happening place. I don't know if Archie was going to a concert or a wedding.
That's awesome.
But it was really fun to just, be out, experience this great city that we live in and all the great things we can do here. And then actually have R2 celebrity sighting.
That's the best. Oh, good old R2. Always a crowd. Sweet. Always a crowd.
Good stuff. How about you, Ken?
You know what? It's funny. I was not going to have much of one. Just a lot of stuff going on the weekend and stuff. Got a chance to kind of refocus my energy after some bad stuff on Friday. So I was going to talk about that, which is Star Wars and Force and that vibes. Then I because of our later recording schedule, I get this opportunity. I had to rush to IKEA in Burbank because you always got to rush to IKEA to get something. And the one we have in Burbank, I think, I don't know if it still is stand. It's like the largest IKEA in like the Western Hemisphere. It's if anyone's ever been there, it is like going to Disneyland. So you can't just get through there fast. So I'm trying to get through. I needed to get something specific. And, you know, I saw a First Order Stormtrooper backpack, one that's just like the helmet and it's a backpack, right? Shaped like the helmet. And, you know, we're all in that. And anyone listening, probably you see Star Wars, your eyes, it turns to it. You know, and here's it, you know, Joseph, when Jennifer's, in the time that Jennifer's been out, you and I have brought up a couple of times of, you know, ageism is a thing out there. Now, Joseph and I have had very good lives with a lot of opportunities. No one cry for us, but it's something we've talked about it, how we love in Star Wars, you know, sequel trilogy. We got some older characters getting to do cool things and it's cool. And it's important. It's part of what we want to see in the stories. So I preach that a lot, but I turn the corner. I see the First Order backpack. And I look, it's on a lady who's very clearly in her mid-60s. And I go, oh, that's weird to myself. And then I go about 4 feet and I go, well, why would I say that? Like, why did I just put an age limit to Star Wars? Why the hell would I do that? I almost want to go back and apologize to her. And then so as I kept going through IKEA, I just kind of was ruminating on the fact that this is great. Like, let's say you were 20 and a young college student studying film and you sat down in 1977. You are in your mid-60s. Hell, George Lucas is getting up there to 80. So is Harrison Ford, and he's still going to be Indiana Jones until he's 90. And I love that. And we always celebrate the entry points. We celebrate the younger generation, Star Wars being a generational tale, and how great it is to see someone and talk to them about the Clone Wars, and that's their first Star Wars. But I love the other end, too, and I don't want to forget the other end. So that unnamed stranger lady in Burbank's IKEA apologized for even 2 seconds, assuming that Star Wars had some sort of age limit. Your backpack was awesome.
That is a great experience. I love when that happens. And I love that you both had fascinating stranger lady experiences.
A lot of stranger ladies out there. So anyways, lesson learned. We'll all celebrate Star Wars, no matter what generation and what age we are. Let's celebrate Star Wars by getting into some Star Wars news. And this is, there's no real spoiler, but I guess if you don't want to know anything about the making of Ahsoka, then tune out. But I don't think we're getting into plot here. Peter Ramsey is going into the Ahsoka-verse. Oh, you see what I did there? The Hollywood Reporter, and that's Boris Kitt, more specifically in his article, Heat Vision, that he always has. He said that, remind us all, the Ahsoka series is going to production next month. And ahead of that, the Oscar-winning Into the Spider-Verse co-director Peter Ramsey is apparently set to helm at least one episode of the series. Of course, nothing confirmed by Lucasfilm yet, but when the Hollywood Reporter runs with it, it's worth discussing. Now, as well as directing Rise of the Guardians a few years ago, Ramsey has two live-action projects in the works, but this will be his first live-action director gig. Now, he used to do storyboards for many, 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 a lot of commas, a lot of manys, films, but some are Men in Black, one of my favorite films, Fight Club, and Independence Day. He worked in the storyboard department for those movies. So that is all kind of the information on this decorated director, said an Oscar-winning co-director. So what do we like about this possible, quotes around that choice, though it does seem pretty good. Jen, what do you think?
I'm really liking this new era of cinema and television, streaming, whatever you want to call it, content. I like that the barriers between different mediums, if you will, are being broken for, you know, for a long time. Mm-hmm. If you worked in film, it was seen as taboo to work in TV. Or if you worked in animation, you would be stuck there and not taken seriously to be able to make the leap to live action. And that seems to not be as much of the case now, because they're telling stories. People who work in animation are telling some of the greatest stories, as we've seen with Pixar and Disney and all the like. Look at Christopher Miller and Phil Lord, right?
Yeah.
I'm excited. And I'm sure he has a ton of ideas. He has a ton of experience. I know this is a film that I actually haven't seen, the Spider-Verse film. It's on my list, but I know it made a huge impact. People really loved it. So I don't know. I'm excited about it. I've just heard wonderful things about his work. So,
Yeah. Yeah, I'll defer to Joseph. I think you're the only one to have seen that film on this team, which is sick.
Wow. Yeah.
Jennifer had a lot of things going on the last couple of years, and I don't follow the Spider-Man much, so I apologize.
It is phenomenal. It really does live up to the hype, and I think part of the power is there's definitely like lots of fun stuff if you know Spider-Man, but this could absolutely be your introduction to Spider-Man. This is not something that depends on being deep in the Spider-Verse yourself, ironically. Right. It makes a lot of sense with Star Wars, because the thing about Into the Spider-Verse is it's got this blend of deeply moving human story, like really hooks you and you really want things to work out for the characters. It's super relatable. Got a great message of hope and compassion and everybody being valuable. But it's also just got a lot of comedy and a lot of action. So it really makes sense for Star Wars. I know there's the, Lord and Miller are involved, and I know many people are still upset that they didn't complete their vision of Solo, but I love Spider-Verse, and I do think it really makes sense that the creative people involved in that would be welcomed into Star Wars.
Yeah, I don't want to kick the dirt on office gossip, but I wonder what that phone call was like, if Peter's like calling up his buddies. Let me ask you something. I got an offer. What do you think? And the fact that he's there. A lot of things. Again, I'll have to defer to your knowledge of this film, Joseph. But obviously, like Jennifer said, this is not only an Oscar-winning film, it just captured the hearts of so many people. You get that the buzz was felt, even if I didn't see the film. And it's nothing. I'll probably see it one day and probably have more reason to now, just in terms of researching what's coming down the line of Star Wars. So I love all that. I love what you're saying. That tracks. And then I love this idea. And Jen, you're touching upon it too, of hey, you know, those walls are kind of down. It was very much. I remember the first time I saw a movie star on TV and thought, wow, that poor person. it's the way it just kind of went. And we're not there anymore. And this tracks for someone like Dave Filoni, who, storyboarder, animator, getting a chance to learn how to direct. This just makes a lot of sense. And Ramsey, again, he won an Oscar, more than qualified to take a stab at live action. It's not like Dave just said, let me give you a chance. I just love it. It just seems like a wonderful pairing from people who understand how to tell stories, no matter what the medium is.
Exactly. Yeah, that makes a ton of sense to me. And I wonder if Filoni is on a mission in general to return the kindness that was that he benefited from of saying, hey, let's make the transition. Let's take things that you know from animation that maybe even apply to the volume. Go visit the set of Last Jedi, work with Jon Favreau, and really get yourself to this live action point where you feel more comfortable and knowledgeable in it. If he's trying to turn around and give that to other animators just out of sort of a philosophical desire.
Yeah.
But then also practical application to this show. This isn't a brand new show. This is Ahsoka's show, right? Mm-hmm. And if all of the rumors are true about a ton of characters coming from Rebels into live action, of Thrawn coming from animation into live action, it might be that Filoni really doesn't want to butt his head up against people who don't understand his thinking on this, right? We've had all these great behind the scenes discussions with him where he's really said, laid out, like, the Darksaber should look different. That's a stylized world. I think he might have a lot of strong opinions about what works in animation that we should translate to live action, what shouldn't come from animation and be different because it's live action. Somebody who appreciates the differences and similarities and wants other directors who have that background.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, Jen?
So much sense. And there's also, I imagine, because he's worked in animation and making that transition, he's not going to have a judgment. And not to say that a strictly only film director would, but he's going to get it. They're going to have that shorthand coming from the animation background that I think is going to be, I don't know, I think it would be really exciting for them. And I know that a lot of people have struggled with a lot of the ways that they've adapted some of the things from animation. I love everything. I will be curious to see, may I ask, who have they been floating around as Thrawn? Have they fan casted, or have there been any names that have been floating around if they do bring Thrawn into the show?
I don't think there's been anything reported. I think it is deep, deep rumor and guesswork about possible Thrawns.
A multiverse of Thrawns.
Into the Thrawnverse. Into the Thrawnverse.
Very, very scary. Yeah, other than we got Sabine cast in the show, right? I you know, the Hollywood Reporter does have I should bring that up because the names itself. As far as, I mean, Ray Stevenson is cast as an unnamed villain, and he is Thrawn-like qualities, and we speculated on that. But nothing yet. So cast Mary Elizabeth Winstead, Ivana Sakhno, Ukrainian actress, and Natasha Lou Bordizzo. Excuse me, I'm just messing all the names up tonight. And of course, that guy Hayden Christensen doing something in the story as well.
Playing Thrawn, a weird choice, but
there you go.
Choice. Weird choice. Yeah. So yeah, this could all be part of that. Thing. And Ramsey having all these skills, in storyboarding, it's just funny. And Dave's got it there. And then you look at the BTS stuff on the volume where they have to, like, really, really, even beyond storyboarding, you get to just visualize almost anything you want in the volume and on those little pads they got there. It's just fascinating the conversations these folks are probably having while putting this all together.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Yes. I mean, I think he's not only the storyboarder, but he's also been a second unit director. So it also strikes me that Peter Ramsey probably has a really great understanding of action. That gets me excited for seeing Ahsoka jump around swinging those white blades.
Yeah. Wow. And, final note on it here, too, going a little bit to what you were touching upon, Jen, too, of just anyone can kind of slide in and out of any medium now and the walls being down. I just keep loving that with the Star Wars TV shows, how it allows us to see more names roll through. And you bring a Deborah Chow in and now she can do Kenobi. And, I still want more from Faima and I want more from Bryce Dallas Howard and Star Wars. And just Steph Green and the way she just absolutely just slayed that second episode of Book of Boba Fett. I love that. I love that the shows get to do that. And it's not just we have one movie and we have to wait 4 years for the movie to come out from the first rumored name of one director. Now we got a lot of names coming through and trying their hand at Star Wars. And I just absolutely love that.
Totally agreed.
Yeah. So there you go. That's our first story. Peter Ramsey going into the Ahsokaverse. When it's officially confirmed or any more names, we'll talk about it here. We're going to take a quick break. But on the other side, don't you worry, we're going to talk about some more Star Wars news as we look towards Star Wars Celebration. Before we do that, we want to have an audiobook recommendation for you, and we're going to do that right now. Joseph, what do we got?
We are recommending Queen's Hope by E.K. Johnston. We are going to be diving into this book. We have loved the first two Padme books by E.K. Johnston, so we can't wait to read this and discuss it. If you would like to listen, you can download a free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/ForceCenter.
That's right, audibletrial.com/ForceCenter. Get the book, listen, and get ready to dive into the review with us in a couple of weeks. All right, quick break here. When we come back, more news here on ForceCenter.
Thank you. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome back to Force Center, the big show, the superstar destroyer of our fleet of news. You know what I mean. Here we go. Let's dive into this. I am excited for Star Wars Celebration, but now we're starting to get news of the panels. It's starting to shape up there. A lot of talk around Celebration 2022 so far has been about what to expect. Movie announcements? There's no episode 9 to promote. Like, what do we got? Mando 3? Now we have some of the bigger panels starting to emerge. Let me just run through these, and we'll discuss them. And what looks to be a big kickoff panel, the, quote, current crop of live-action filmmakers. We'll be joined by special guests to discuss the many adventures coming soon, including Kenobi, Andor, and The Mandalorian. Like I said, that should be on Thursday. On Saturday, Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni will sit down with special guests for a conversation about The Mandalorian series so far and what's to come. And on Sunday, getaway day, as I call it, when we're all kind of packing and looking at the checkout times, but still having to head back to the floor, David Collins will host the Bad Batch panel, which will feature Jennifer Corbett, Brad Rau, cast and writers of The Bad Batch to discuss the first season and, hey, what's to come. Overall thoughts to these announcements so far, Joseph?
Yeah, I'm fascinated by what they've announced. It makes a ton of sense. I'm also fascinated by what they haven't announced. And that there's a missing day if I have my weekend days right. Friday. They haven't announced anything for Friday. I've seen other people talking about it, and I'm really intrigued by why they haven't announced anything yet, if they're just, rolling things out slowly. But I'm kind of wondering if it's going to be a Kenobi panel or a Kenobi viewing. Obviously, they are featuring Kenobi heavily in that big kickoff panel on Thursday with all the upcoming adventures. But I wonder if they're going to do something to kind of make the most of the fact that Kenobi had premiered on Friday at midnight. I'm intrigued by that. I'm also intrigued by, I understand why they haven't announced it yet, because it's probably not as splashy, but I really do hope they do a 20th anniversary of Attack of the Clones, which I think they will, since their merch is all Attack of the Clones inspired.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that would make sense for like a Sunday, which I think they did the Phantom Menace on that. Though we had that Monday, fifth day in Chicago. We don't have that here. Jen, it's going to be a busy celebration for all of us there. Anything you're looking to drop everything and head to?
Yeah, I am wondering. Yes, for the missing Friday is what I'm thinking about, because what are they going to share in the Thursday panel, right? Like, they have these episodes that are going to be dropping for Kenobi.
Yeah.
So they can't do any like big reveals. Not going to have a trailer or anything like that. Okay. All right. So they'll probably will have Deborah Chow, and she'll maybe be teasing about what's going to be happening throughout the season. Oh, maybe they'll have a little feature out of the season. Maybe they'll do that. Okay. Now, Mandalorian. Jon Favreau and Dave Filoni are going to have their panel on Saturday. So are they going to be also at this panel on Thursday?
I believe so. Yeah.
Right.
So
what are they going to talk? It feels like, I don't know what they're going to discuss in this. I mean, and then for Andor, I'm not even sure. Like, Andor has multiple directors. Tony Gilroy was supposed to be the showrunner, but then with COVID, supposedly he actually didn't end up show running. I'm not 100% sure. So who are they going to bring out for Andor? There's a lot of unknowns. I'm sure it's going to be great. It's going to be exciting, but I feel like the big day is going to actually end up being Friday.
I think you're right about that. Plus,
are you? Sorry.
Well, I was going to say, with Gilroy is still involved, but he does not seem like the one who's going to want to attend a Star Wars convention. He's going to be like, what? Wait, there's fans of this stuff? Nah, I don't watch Star Wars.
Yeah, and I think he's still the showrunner. I think the thing was that he was going to direct and then didn't want to travel.
That's what it was. Yeah. That's what it was. Thank you.
But you're right. That means if he's not like an all-in convention guy, and there are a bunch of different directors who are like, yeah, I'm not showrunning. I directed three episodes.
Right.
It is like, well, who is sort of for a convention the sort of grand show person who is trumpeting this for us?
Yeah, I mean, I think they'll get Gilroy out, right? They'll this is probably in the fine print. You got to come pretend.
That would be great.
Adam Driver in 2015. Go pretend that you want to be here.
Oh my gosh.
For the missing Friday, is there any hope or expectation from either of you that might be movie related, big screen related?
Yeah, I think the big story might be what's yet to be announced. And the Kenobi thing definitely tracks, though it's kind of cruel, because they're going to be like, we all know you stayed up to like 2 a.m. in your hotel rooms. Now you have to get up at like 5 a.m. to get in line and get in the convention panel that probably starts at 9 or 10. That just makes a lot of sense that anything this Thursday panel, they're listing TV, streaming, Disney Plus stuff. But that special guest, you bring someone out and maybe you tease it and announce it Friday, or then you just wait. Wait for Friday. That'd be midday panel. I don't know what you do. Bring Taika Waititi out and he goes, surprise, here's what I'm doing. It's what we do in the Force. You know, what do we got? You know, I think you're right, Joseph. I think that's kind of the buried lead we haven't learned about yet.
Yeah, it just seems like they announced three anchor panels and there's one missing. So it'll be really fascinating to see what that is. I have thoughts on the Thursday panel.
Specifically, like, what are you expecting? What do you want? What's your thoughts? Trailers, teasers, announcements, Tony Gilroy going, there's a Bubba Gump around the corner. That's why I'm here.
I think it's good. I think there are going to be some treats, but I think presentation wise, I think it's going to be mostly a party. Like, remember, like the Rise of Skywalker panel. It was great, right? In The Last Jedi one too, but it was mostly like a fun host, Colbert, for the Rise of Skywalker, right?
Right,
bringing people out and kind of asking them a fun, jokey question, and then throughout it, every once in a while, there was a drop. You know, that was the first time we saw Claude, I believe, and that was the first time we saw Lando's yellow shirt, right?
Right, right.
And that, but that whole thing was like, let's joke around, let's have fun. It's a party, and then bam, the title in the trailer at the end is the punch. Mm. But the majority of it is just sort of like, let's have a charming person, you know, bring Ewan out and ask him two joke questions. He says a funny answer and we cheer.
Yeah.
You know, right. I don't think that panel is a press conference, you know? I think that one is a little less in depth because it's also like the kickoff. But what I do think might happen there is I think there's a possibility of either announcement about or updates about Ahsoka, Acolyte, Orlando.
Yes.
Right.
Maybe the revelation of a new series with absolutely no details. You know, Lucasfilm is not the same as MCU at all, but like there's been some MCU presentations where Kevin Feige has been like, here's what we can tell you with all these details. And then he's like, oh, and by the way, we're doing Blade. Bye. You know, if they're going to have any sort of like, and by the way, we're doing Kira versus Maul, Crimson Dawn. Bye. Like, if that's just the announcement of another one that exists, because they're going to have to refresh the slate soon to keep the Disney Plus hype.
Yeah.
And then my other thought is, I really think an Andor trailer is not out of the realm of possibility at all.
This might be the kickoff of real the beginning of the Andor push, right? I mean, Kenobi's here, there. We're going to see the episodes. Still going to have a lot of marketing around that, but Andor, well, intents and purposes, is up next. So what a way to just, hey, you guys want to see some Andor footage? That'd be great.
Yeah, because this isn't just for the convention. This is also how are they trying to dominate the social media discussion the entire weekend.
Domination.
Yeah, you're right. It is. It's got to be a teaser trailer. Something, Andor. Yeah.
Well, yeah. And even just discussing it with y'all here, I'm more excited than I thought I would. And I mean, you know, off air discussions that I'm now bringing on air. I've even told Joseph, like, I don't know. I'll be in a hotel room, and I just want to party. Let's go party. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. That'd be kind of fun to be there and cheering with, you know, thousands of other people because I get to see Cassian's face on screen again. Like, that's why these conventions are fun, beyond just the news and the hype and the domination of the cycle. It's just fun to celebrate. It's fun to rub shoulders with people who are just experiencing joy for Star Wars.
Yeah. Absolutely, especially something like Andor that, you know, I think we're all very excited for, but I think so far it hasn't captured the sort of general public's imagination of what it could be and how cool it could be to have this morally conflicted, gritty espionage story all leading to hope baked into Star Wars and and to have a room full of thousands of people get that and be excited about that. That's just fun to be a part of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, sorry, Jen, I'll cut you off. Just because Andor is this series, it has, you know, there's definitely folks like us who are super excited, but there's some question marks around it of just like, okay, I'll see what it's about. Well, man, getting to see what it's about on this scale and this stage will really, I think, kick it off. So I'm excited. So I almost got to temper my expectations.
I mean, the behind the scenes little featurette that they showed recently of Andor, I was surprised by the scope of it. It seems very cinematic, huge sets, incredible costumes and creatures. I think Neil Scanlan's back in the special effects creature department. It just looks pretty epic, not even in slang term, but just like grand. And that kind of got me, oh, okay. You know, and obviously the volume is incredible for what they're able to do. But this was like, you know, this is like Star Wars filmmaking. So that got me excited.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it might have a little bit of a different look and different feel because it seems like for whatever reason, if it was creative pushing, if it was, you know, trying out different things early in Disney Plus's tenure, it feels like it has a few more big sets and practical stuff.
Yes.
Yeah. Excited to see. And definitely excited now about that Friday blank spot, you know, and who knows that, you know, Feige could be the O-end surprise. Instead of him delivering it, Joseph, he could be the surprise. Oh, and here's Kevin. What are you doing? I'm doing this. Oh, okay, great. And cheers go up, you know.
Oh, yeah. Here's my Knights of the Old Republic movie or whatever. Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Could be.
For the other panels on Saturday with the Mandalorian panel, like that first Mandalorian one was great and things that now get shared all the time that were on social media that were just anecdotes. Pedro Pascal talking about coming in and going, who do I play? The robot? Yeah. and being told like, no, you're the Mandalorian, and his emotional reaction. So like I think with that cast, with those creators, there could be some really fun moments. But I wonder if we could get a very short teaser, maybe even one that isn't made available publicly, but a very short teaser or a little scene from season 3, or possibly more information about the storytelling event that the Mandoverse is building to.
That would be interesting. Yeah, especially as an overall picture, right? If we get a little... little tease on the day before with you know, Ahsoka or anything like that. Yeah, that'd be fun.
Yeah. The other thing that I think is going to make that one fascinating is, you know, obviously fans all have different opinions, and Book of Boba Fett didn't land for everybody. And one of the things that bumped people was the inclusion of, you know, such focus on Din and Grogu and the feeling that they took some of Boba Fett's time. I have to imagine that Favreau and Filoni see Boba Fett as part of the Mandoverse. And so it makes sense to them. And it is this whole question of audience expectations versus creator intent and all that kind of thing. So I'm so fascinated to see how they talk about it. I don't think they're going to go, I guess some of you didn't like it, because like, I don't think they're going to be confrontational in any way, shape or form. It is a celebration. But I think it might be really fascinating to hear them talk about, of course, Book of Boba Fett is part of the Mandoverse.
Right.
And going forward, you can expect these performers or these characters. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
You know what? If they really want to break the internet, you know what they should do? They should bring Grogu out. I mean, it would be that would be it. Talk about dominating the news cycle. I don't even remember which panel it was where they brought out BB-8. Was it the first one?
First one, yeah.
Yeah, the very first one. And that Babajo, blew my mind, right? Just imagine, people would go crazy. And didn't you guys, when you guys were in the Mando panel, didn't they show something that they did not release online? Because it wasn't finished, right?
They showed an early scene with the Mando and the client his office. Yeah.
Yeah. So they could do that again.
Yeah. That would make sense. So I always get the sense that Favreau was very uncomfortable with that.
Yeah. Because he literally said we should wrap up. We still have a lot of work to do on the show.
Oh, my gosh.
But you're right. That's the Grogu point is so good that they haven't had a celebration since the baby Yoda conquered the galaxy.
Wow. That's why. Yeah. I hadn't thought about it in those terms. Oh, my God. You're right. Chicago was before all. Oh, my God. Sorry.
Yeah.
Time. Maybe Friday is just conversations with Grogu. Interviewing him.
Gosh, that would be the way to do it. They have character.
Just put him up in a chair and have someone controlling him off stage. Like, come on.
Lord. Now I want that.
Right?
Keep your movie news. Give me a conversation with Grogu.
I love that. I love that. And then, any thoughts on the Bad Batch panel? Jen, we haven't really discussed Bad Batch with you. I don't know if you had a chance to take the deep dive on it there. Anything you're looking forward to knowing or hearing?
No, that's on my list next. I'm almost done with Rebels. It's amazing. Last season now. I started to get sad. I'm like, what am I going to do? Well, there's a lot of things I can do. I have tons of things. But Bad Batch is next. Because I have watched a couple episodes, but as I've now seen with Rebels, I had seen some of these episodes, but not watching it from the beginning, it just doesn't have the same weight. It also doesn't have the context. So I'm like, what is this about? But yeah, I'm excited because I love the Bad Batch. I love all the different characters.
Yeah.
They're and Omega, right? Omega.
Yeah.
Omega.
I think you're going to be so charmed by Omega, Jen. She's such a great character. And I got a really different vibe for Star Wars, but also perfectly Star Wars. I can't wait for you to be able to spend some time with Omega.
I'm excited. Again, people are really passionate about this show. And so that's where I'm like, okay, I want to go there next.
It'll rub off there. And I think we'll finally, if not before the convention, but definitely this panel, get the information of when Bad Batch Season 2 is finally coming out. That'd be good.
Yeah, I think there'll definitely be a trailer for Season 2 and a release date. And Sunday makes sense for the animated show that they want to hype but isn't the biggest deal. It makes sense for them to hype it then. The other thing I'm excited about for that panel, Ken, is, you know, Dee Bradley Baker being there and Michelle Ng and getting to hear about that experience of, you know, Dee Bradley Baker playing all those roles.
Yeah, incredible.
I'm sure there'll be a lot of talk about that. Mm. But I think the fact that Jennifer Corbett is the head writer and she's going to be there, and I think it'll be great to really celebrate her because it says, you know, produced by Dave Filoni and, you know, I think, you know, co-developed by Dave Filoni or whatever the various credits are. A lot of times on the internet, you'll just see like Filoni's continuing to kill it. He's killing it with Bad Batch. And like, I'm sure he made many wonderful contributions, but the head writer's name is Jennifer Corbett.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no fault of Filoni at all, of course. No. But yes, just the way the conversations go. And yeah, that's why we try to say here Filoni and team, at least when discussing it. But yeah, absolutely. Brad Rao and Jennifer Corbett front and center. That'll be fun. And to hear them and hear their takes on it and what they did in season one and what they hope to do with Bad Batch is it moves into important storytelling eras. Like, you know, we're here at the formation of the Empire. That's fascinating stuff and important stuff in terms of the Star Wars story. So I want to hear their takes on it for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Looking forward to that one.
Well, we will keep you updated, of course, once all the other panels are out there, especially that Friday panel. And maybe they'll be nice and put the Kenobi panel at like in the 4 p.m. so we all can sleep in, though probably not asleep, but a lot of sleep not happening at Star Wars Celebration. Final segment of the day here, and then we'll get out of here, is our Star Wars history segment, looking ahead to Star Wars past. And this one is actually at the end of the week. It's a fun anniversary. It hits on April 16th, where April 16th, 2015, the second Force Awakens teaser trailer debuted at Star Wars Celebration Anaheim, most remembered as the Chewie We're Home trailer. This 1:49 trailer built off the success of the first teaser trailer back in November 2014 by focusing on the generational change about to happen in the saga, but of course gave us the first bit of actual dialogue from the movie as delivered by Han Solo, the aforementioned Chewie We're Home. So we're 7 years removed from this. I'll say that again. We're 7 years removed from this.
Wow.
We have talked about some of the anniversary stuff here recently. Joseph and I sharing our memories of things, even the November 2014 trailer. So without going into too much detail there, I wanted to talk about just our feelings. When you think about that trailer and when it was released and the Chewie We're Home, what feelings emerge when you think about it all, Jen?
Oh man. And I watched that trailer again and I got chills and I started to well up. How many times have I seen that movie? Like, I mean, it's, and obviously I know everything that happens. It's so fascinating what these, quite frankly, the Force theme and then hearing Mark Hamill's voice.
Yeah.
And it's very nostalgic heavy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think, and I couldn't help but think a little bit like, oh, maybe that's why some fans felt disappointed. They felt like it was going to be the whole gang back together again. Mm. And it wasn't. Even though we see Rey and Finn and all these other new things. And especially with that Chewie We're Home. Oh my gosh, that gutted me at the time. I was like, this is going to be amazing. And it was. But there is something where I did feel like, oh gosh, maybe that's where people got a little confused.
Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah.
I'm with you on the, we gotta come up with a term for it, but it's like unexpected Star Wars tears. when, in researching this, and then Joseph, I want to get your thoughts on it, but I watched the trailer, but then the YouTube algorithm suggested someone's illegal recording of the trailer at Celebration Anaheim. So I clicked on that. And that's when you get to hear all the crowd reactions. And I started to well up. And then that led to the Rise of Skywalker one inside the convention hall where, you know, you weren't supposed to tape it. And I watched that one and started to just cry. And even Grace popped in. She's like, what's going on? What are you doing? Like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm just crying about Star Wars. And I don't know. It's just that, again, that collective everyone in one room and all the cynicism goes away and all your expectations are out in front of you. And it draws from your past as you look to the future, and it just pulls you in. And this trailer, that experience, that day, I know right where I was. I've told that story before about being in Prim, Nevada, and seeing it on my phone and crying in the car there. It is just part of the fun. So 7 years seems like yesterday. The tears are still fresh.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. That really makes a lot of sense. And we need to come up with, yes, the happy tier. I'm crying joyfully about Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you both know, and people listening know it. I've talked about it before, where I'll just be watching Rogue One, and you know, it's more than just Raddus coming out of hyperspace, but something about it. And it's about just me as a kid dreaming about seeing this on screen, and just over. Comes me. I don't really fully understand it other than I just experience it.
Yeah, I think we'll run this up the flagpole of calling it like the swell.
The swell. Yes.
It feels like something's welling up inside you and then it comes out. And I think this trailer, so many of the Force Awakens, all the Force Awakens ones are great, but this one in particular really has that the past is not gone, that thing that you loved is coming back. But like this trailer is almost an argument for the positive power of nostalgia. This isn't to me about like we're going to show you that thing you know again. It's that you thought this thing you loved died. It starts with the crashed X-Wing in Star Destroyer, which is literally like, is that what happened to your toys? I bet you thought that's what happened to Star Wars. And then the way that's constructed, the way Luke Skywalker speaks to someone, like at the time it was the fun, like who's he talking to? But the way it works is he's talking to all of us, right? You have that power too. And it connects you to that like feeling when you were young or young at heart.
Yeah.
And we're waving, a rake around pretending it was a lightsaber because this was so fantastic and fulfilling, and that bring that all back to Han, the cynical guy, reflecting all of that by saying, we're home. I think the other trailer goes really far. The next one goes even more into the swell with, Han saying it's all true. But this one is like the emotional version of that as well, of like those feelings inside you about this space fantasy story are real and valid, and get rid of the cynicism and the doubt because it's coming back.
Yeah, and I think to be in a convention hall with so many people experiencing the swell, patent pending, at the same time, it's why it's so powerful. And that trailer, and looking back on it 7 years now, it's constructed so well, down to the fact that you hear Han before you see him, and that little beat of just blank screen, and you hear Chewie. It's like, whoa, and just that absolutely doubles the impact, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm going to return to this one when I'm feeling a little down because it's super, super powerful.
It is. And I'm generally a rule follower in life. Okay. Don't sneak your phones in, kids. But at the same time, I'm so thankful for those because they were really fun to watch and really fun to relive that experience again. So more coming. Big. What will be the big trailer reveal? What will be the big communal experience at this celebration? We'll find out.
Yeah. What will cause the swell this time?
The swell.
Wait.
Well, that is our show for tonight, for today. I keep saying tonight because we're recording at night. You guys are listening to this whenever you listen to it. We are not going to make Jennifer growl and cough through any more of this episode. She's been a trooper, a range trooper, and a scarif trooper to stay with us here tonight. We appreciate it. So we're going to get on out of here, but I'm going to let you know where to follow us. We are at Twitter on @4CenterPod. We're Instagram and YouTube. Thank you to all who watched the live Q&A this last week. Very fun. We're going to be doing more of it. And yes, we saw someone in the comments was like, you should consider doing one with Jennifer. We have considered and we will. Just the schedule didn't work out this last time.
Yes, I know. I'm so sorry.
No apologies needed. It's life. But I just want everyone to know, don't worry. We always think of Jen and want to get her on that. So it will happen soon. Facebook page is 4Center Podcast. Podcast available in a lot of different spots, including Acast, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts. Just search. You'll find us. Merch available at tpublic.com/user/4Center. And you can support us directly at patreon.com/4Center. Always looking for new patrons, new friends to hang out with us on our Discord and Patreon overall. You can find me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com. We always like to highlight charities or things going on in the world that are close to our hearts. I've been highlighting the global crisis stuff a lot recently, but I also want to highlight the GoFundMe for the Kyiv Independent. As we know, information in a lot of situations and the truth and what's actually happened and facts are very important. So I choose to support the Kyiv Independent by going to GoFundMe.com/F/KyivIndependent-launch. You can as well, if you so choose. Joseph, what do you got today?
Yeah, you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is @JosephScrimshaw. You can check out all of my other comedy adventures, past, present, and future on my website, josephscrimshaw.com. I would like to continue to highlight the great organization Vote Forward. You write letters to voters encouraging them to use their power and vote. It's something that I do. I am really big on trying to find proactive things we can do because there are so many things to be concerned about. But if you just spend time on social media, sometimes it's awareness. Other times it's just kind of frustration. And I'm really focused on where can we find actions that we can proactively take. And for me, Vote Forward is a really important one. So if you're interested in checking it out, you can go to their website at votefwd.org.
Wonderful. As always, Jennifer, take us home. Where can they find you and anything you want to highlight today?
You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram @JenniferLanda or my TikTok @JenniferLanda1138. I've been a little absent on the social medias, obviously, because I've been sick and having life things, but I will be back. Like Hayden Christensen as Darth Vader. I will return. Who knows what I'll be doing, but I will be back. And that's all I have for today. Yes.
That is great. And that is plenty. Thank you so much, Jennifer, as always. So glad to have you back here on 4Center, though your heart never left. We were just highlighting, folks, I want to go back to the old episodes. Check out Jen's Jedi Beat and Happy Beeps episodes as well. Some of our best stuff here. Go into the archives and find that. All right, that is it. So for, Jennifer Corbett, not Dave Filoni, and all the panels yet to come, this has been 4Center. We'll see you next time. Thanks, friends.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.